Welcome to Street TV, the podcast. And in this episode, I have a really interesting interview that was done with S-Bone from Rollin 40s Neighborhood Crips. The Rollin 40s are a fairly large size neighborhood on the west side of South Los Angeles, and their history is closely tied in with the Rollin 30s Harlem Crips. But they have established themselves as an independent, autonomous neighborhood many years ago. Geographically, they have the longest territory from east to west in the entire county of Los Angeles, from the avenue side of their turf all the way to the dark side of their turf, which would be from Crenshaw to the west to the 110 freeway to the east, is approximately 3.3 miles or 5.3 kilometers. They have four sections, or sides as they call them. The avenues would be to the west, then you got the western side, the park side, and then the dark side to the east. I did this interview in the field on the corner of Hoover and 40th Place, which would be considered the dark side. And the dark side was once an area claimed by the Fortrey Hoover Gangster Crips from the late 1970s to the very early 1980s, probably around 81 or 82. Then it went through a transition period during the 1980s and eventually became part of the Rollin 40s Crips. Before I play this interview, I would like to remind everyone to follow the Street TV podcast on whatever platform you're listening to right now. If you're on Spotify, click that follow button. And if you're listening to us on Apple iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review. And in your review, leave me some feedback on which previous interview you'd like to hear converted into an episode here on Street TV, the podcast. And I might make that the next episode. So here's S-Bone in an episode that I call Glove Love.
I'm Big S-Bone. I'm from the 40s, Rollin 40s. You know, we got four sides, the avenues, dark, western side, and the park side. I'm from the dark. But the dark is from Flower, Vermont, King to Vernon, in that little box area. You know what I'm saying? Everything over there is the hood, you feel me? Actually, from King all the way to 49th on Vermont, though. But once you cross over to Hoover in like 48th, you know, that's like the Hoovers and shit.
So when you was coming up around here, the Fortrey Hoovers, they had already faded out, right?
Well, yeah, they wasn't really around. You know, it was a few. You know what I'm saying? It was a few. It's probably like one or two still floating around, but they older and shit. But as far as them hanging out and nah, that shit been out a long time ago. Way before I even came around. The homies had already, you know, did they little stuff and went through their little trials and tribulations with them. You know, just a little history, you know. I lived on Browning, I grew up on Browning. You know, I went to Manual with all the 30s and everybody. And, you know, I got family from all over the places and shit. So, you know, I started off running with the WDCs, which is the We Don't Cares. You know, they was kind of like, we was young. You know, they called us taggers, but, you know, you had a few cats that was tagging, but you had a few cats like me and a few other cats that was really cripping. You know, carrying guns, doing shit that, quote-unquote, bigger hoods and gang members did. You know, majority everybody from every gang that's probably around my age, 42, 40, 43, you know, they started off as being from tag gangs. You know, you had the WDCs, the DOMs, you know what I'm saying? You know, that was like the same thing. We all started right here on the 800 block. WDCs had the west side, they had the east side, and they had the dark side WDC.
Now, was WDC just We Don't Care, or was it a time? Because I used to see WDCC. It looked like it went to We Don't Care for a minute.
Yeah.
And then it went to We Don't Care Crip.
Like, well, actually, that happened when one of the homies had, you know, he went to jail for killing some Hoovers. That's how the DCs start beefing with the Hoovers. And I remember we had a meeting and shit on 48, and the homie was like, hey, it's going up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what y'all finna do? Because, you know, this is transitioning. It's finna go up now. So a lot of dudes turned Hoover. A lot of dudes stayed WDCs. And majority of them came over here to the hood. But at the same time, the homies used to be tripping because they know it was some that was on 51st of Vermont. So the homies didn't know if these niggas was Hoovers, trying to infiltrate, play both sides. You know, it was a lot of that going on because a lot of dudes didn't really want to, they just was around for the, you know, for the fame, you know, for the females or for whatever. They wasn't really out here fighting. They wasn't really behind the drill. You know, they wasn't doing none of that. So, you know, back in the day, you know, we had a gang of older homies used to be sizing niggas up. You know what I'm saying? Pull up, hop out, firing on niggas, you know, to see if these niggas is gonna fight, see what kind of cats is in the hood, all different type of shit, you know what I'm saying? So that's when it really went to the cripping. They had the homie on America's Most Wanted too. the homie that's in jail for that shit from WDC.
Do you remember what year that was when the WDCs got into it with the Hoovers that caused that killing?
That probably was like maybe 93, 94. And, that was a while ago.
And
that was the first year I got shot, actually.
What started that beef with them?
Well, you know, the homie was doing this shit, you know, making money and shit. And, you know, by them being a bigger gang, you know, they basically tried to throw their weight on the homie. Like, you know, you can't do X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, if you're doing X, Y, and Z, you got to buy X, Y, and Z from me. So it's like you basically trying to tell him what he got to do, how he got to do it. So, you know, niggas ain't going for that. You can't make no man do nothing he don't want to do. So they came to this man's house. You feel me? A little shit happened, you know what I'm saying? Niggas did their shit. Threw one of the bodies out on 53rd in front of them niggas like on some sick shit. But on TV, they put it like he was fucking with some innocent people so the people can look for the nigga and turn him in. Not knowing it was just some gang violence and really these dudes on some bully tactics and they got what they asked for, you know what I'm saying? They try to bully this dude and this dude did what he had to do.
So do you know who actually started WDC? Which side started it and who were those early guys?
My homie, actually WDC stood for my homie, they name. My homie Wire, that was the W. My homie Desire, that was the D. And my homie Chisholm, that was the C. So that's how they came up with WDC.
And where are those three cats at today?
Well, Wire, he from the hood now. And the homie Desire, he from 60s. And the homie Chisholm, he in the pen. He got like 58 years, he a mess. You know what I'm saying? He in jail and shit. So he been down ever since back then.
Okay, so you mentioned you got shot in 93.
I got shot like in 94 at the McDonald's drive-thru.
Were you WDC at the time?
Yeah. Yeah, when I got shot, I was actually right here on the block, on the 800 block. And a little bitch pulled up. And it really wasn't for me, you know. I felt like she was trying to set the homie up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn, where y'all finna go, man? He like, we finna go to McDonald's. I'm like, man, I wanted to go. He didn't really want me to go, you know what I'm saying? Because he was a ladies' man. I'm a ladies' man. So, you know, it was a little jealousy thing right there, I felt like, because he really didn't want me to go. So, long story short, I jumped in the back seat. We go through the drive-thru, getting our food and shit. And you know, this before they had pull up to the first window and the second window, it was just that one window. So when we pull up to the front, I'm looking, you can see the casuals. I'm looking, I'm like, I tell my boy, I'm like, damn, this nigga look familiar right here. And when we pulling out, I'm down there getting my, you know, eating my fries and shit. It's the good Lord, something told me this. Look, I look, and I see the dude creeping with a chrome gun. I never forget it. But I had to double take because I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? So I kind of like stuck my hand out and I had like the barrel of the nose and he pulled it back. He was scary though. I say that because he only shot one time. And when he shot, he was like this. Bah! You feel me? So he hit me in the hip. You know what I'm saying? The bitch screaming, ah, the homie slapper. Bah, bitch, drive. We drive, pull up right here on the 800 block. All the homies right there. My nigga hop out like, S-Bone just got shot at McDonald's. Everybody broke, like 50 niggas, they running to McDonald's. I'm in the back seat like, hey, I'm right here though. They didn't hear me though. So, end up telling them to take me to Southwest. They dog a nigga out, pull a nigga all out. I'm like, damn, if I was shot in the head, I'd be dead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, but then they shot my house up after that. Cause I don't know if you remember, they had some shit called a party line. You know what I'm saying? Where motherfuckers used to call like, hey, yeah, man, woo, or you meet a girl over there and shit. Them motherfuckers had called a party line. It was like, yeah, we caught that nigga Bone and McDonald's slipping. That nigga resting piss. My homie like, man, listen to this. I listen. I'm like, damn. I get back on there like, yeah, that nigga was a bitch. He closed his eyes. I'm right here ticking alive, even though I'm hit up and shit. But it was going up, man. Shootouts. Oh, man, it was crazy, man.
What was it like with the DOMs? Was the DOMs and WDCs always tight? Because I used to see them hitting up together.
Yeah, they was tight, but it used to be a little friction and shit between the most because, like I said, you got other dudes that's from other hoods. You know, you got some niggas that was Bloods from DOM. You got some dudes that was 30s. Yeah, so, you know, it used to be a little friction. Like, I remember one of the homies, he used to always get mad because I used to say cuz a lot. And I'm like, nigga, I'm a Crip. But by him being tied and closer to the Bloods, he didn't like to hear that. But, you know, he respected that because he like, damn, this young motherfucker already. And he just got out. I just found out he got out. He been in jail like 20-some years. He just got out probably like a couple of months ago.
So he was a DOM, but with blood ties.
but he from DOM though.
Yeah.
He not a blood, but you know, his love might be more to the red side than the blue side.
What was your interaction with EWF? Because they kind of started.
I used to hang with them when I was in sixth grade. They used to call me Lil Romeo. I was from Sixth Avenue.
Oh, right off of King?
Man, I was in the sixth grade, seventh grade. I know all them dudes, Shannon, all them dudes. I went to Granada Hills High. You know, they had Patton Road, E-Dub out there. I know all them dudes.
It's a trip how influential these crews were.
Right.
To the streets.
Right.
Because a lot of these dudes was either E-Dub, DOM, WDC.
Right.
And there's probably more that I'm
all type of shit. Fairfax Posse, Perverts, Sex Jerks. You had the Troubles, MOKs, NTSs, LFCs. You know what I'm saying? You had all type of shit. L.A. Max. You know what I'm saying? You had all type of shit, man. You had all type of shit, man. 304. You know, you had all. It's a plethora of them.
So at some point, you just transitioned into being a full-fledged 40s.
Right.
What year was that, and when you left WDC alone?
Well, I got put on the hood in '97. Right. So I got some calendars up under my belt. You feel me? I got put on right there on 43rd. In Hoover, that's the main line. We call Hoover the main line in the hood. And yeah, I mean, it was regular to me. You know, it was just a regular, you know, I squabbled with a couple of homies, you know, it wasn't like some niggas be getting forced and all that, but I already knew the homies. You know what I'm saying? And at that time, you know, all my cats from DC, they was kind of like, in my opinion, I felt like they wasn't where they needed to be. They were scattered out. A lot of homies was in jail. You know, but the love is still there, and it's always gonna be there. But this is my area. You feel me? And I'm glad I got put on the hood way before all the little triggeration and all the bull crap went on with the homies and the DCs and the old man.
I wanted to recap some things that were said in this segment. When Espon said he went to Manual, he was referring to Manual Arts High School on Vermont Avenue, just south of Martin Luther King. Manual Arts High School is a well-known school in South Los Angeles that was predominantly black during the 1970s and 80s, but demographic change in the community now has that school at 80%, 81% Latino, and 18% black. The school is ranked low in nearly every category, from college readiness to math proficiency to reading and comprehension. 91% of the students are from economically disadvantaged families, 81% receive free lunch, with a 74% graduation rate. Filmmaker Frank Capra graduated from Manual Arts High School in 1914, but that was a different era. When we mentioned WDC in that previous segment, we were referring to a crew known as We Don't Care that was active in this community during the early 1990s. And the 800 block refers to the street between Hoover and Menlo. I also asked about EWF, which is known as Every Woman's Fantasy. And these crews were not traditional black gangs like the Bloods and the Crips, but some of them functioned similarly. In this next segment, we moved locations to Browning Boulevard, one block north of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, in the Roland 30s Crips side. This is where Espon used to live with his mother and siblings.
We right here on Browning and shit, you know, this is where it all started at for me. You know, this is where I grew up at, but I hung out on the other side with the homies and shit. This is the 30 side right here, you know what I'm saying? But I hung out with the homies, you know, I went to Manu. Man, there's so much shit over here, it's crazy.
So when you was young over here, it was the 39th streets, right, from the 30s?
It was 39th Street 30s and Dead End Harpies, which is a Mexican gang. Actually, the leader used to live at the bottom of my house. They used to have meetings over there and all the time. My nigga O'Ryan from Harpies, he from Dead End Harpies, a Mexican fool, that's my boy. He started off from ATC, which is another 30 creation, you feel me? And the Mexicans kind of like took that gang and they turned it into a Southside gang.
I thought ATC was was Addicted to Crime.
I mean, it's really another 30 creation, but Addicted to Crime was whatever, you know, they want to call it, but it's really another 30 creation. They created ATC and all them transform it to Harpies, Dead End Harpies, which is 39th Street Harpies, and the Harpies down there in the 20s on Vermont and shit.
How come you weren't heavily influenced by the 30s? What made you want to kind of go on that side?
Well, the 30s, I don't know. I knew all them kind of like, You know, they was Belizean and shit. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, them the homies, you know, I got love for them. But, you know, they style wasn't the homie style. I actually was going to be from the 90s, from 9-0, which is at Jesse Orange. Because my cousins and them, they from there. But when I went up there to get put on, they wouldn't put me on because of my cousin. So I'm like, and it was me. I never forget, it was me and another dude we was going to get put on. And it wasn't number God why I didn't get put on, because the dude that got put on with me, he ended up getting killed that day.
Same day?
Same day. Same day. So what happened is, when they didn't put me on, I came down here to the hood. Like, I'm like, shit, I'm right here with the homies. Shit, I'm just going to roll with them. Because I knew I was going to be from somewhere. I stayed in this top apartment. My room was in the back. I bullshit you not. I was looking out the window like, just like, damn, you about to be from somewhere, because I feel it. So I'm like, in my mind, I said, 30s, WDCs, or 40s. And I ain't going to lie, you know, because a lot of motherfuckers be scared to get quartered on, got to fight. So that kind of like deterred me a little bit. And I was already hanging with the WDCs. So, you know, I just started running with them. We right here on King and Vermont, beating niggas up, jacking niggas. You couldn't even catch the bus right here. I lived over here, 93, 94, 95, 96. So I was in kind of like, I probably was like 9th to 12th or 10th to 12th grade. Feel me?
And you said you were staying there with your moms?
Yeah, moms, my little brother, my pop, even though he was out here running the street smoking and shit, but yeah.
So what was moms figuring out that you started kind of hanging out with different fellas?
Yeah, my moms was like, she actually told me when I started gangbanging, she was like, you could buy your own clothes then. You know, you old enough to gangbang, so you could buy your own clothes. So once that really happened, you know, because my mama wouldn't allow khakis. I used to get a whooping for talking about I want some khakis and Chuck Taylors. I remember my first quote-unquote gangbang outfit. I bought it right there from Bell Sales. I bought me some green khakis, black t-shirt, and some black house shoes. That was my first gangbang outfit. And it was the same khakis I got shot in. That's why I don't wear them color khakis no more. I got shot in them motherfuckers. I got kicked out of Maine 3 times. I got kicked out of that motherfucker for fighting the dean. One time I had a big ass machete in my motherfucking bag. I got kicked out for that. Then I had a fight with one of my teammates on football, because I played football. Feel me? So I got kicked out 3 times out that motherfucker. I got kicked out of Hamilton twice. I got kicked out of the whole Valley District. You know, I got kicked out of adult school. You know, I went to Crenshaw CDC right there on Jefferson Crenshaw behind Stevie's on the Strip. That's where we used to go when you get out of juvenile camp and they send us up in there and shit. Okay. I didn't graduate from high school. I actually went to jail on my 18th birthday. I had a court day on my 18th birthday. And they kept me. Right from this motherfucker right here.
And what happened?
I went to camp. I went to camp for like 7-8 months. I was 18 years old. So you got an 18-year-old in a juvenile camp. Even though it's probably other cats in there, 18, 17, but that juvenile probation is a joke. Because, you know, they could hold your ass till you're like 25. They held me all the way till I was 20.
So when you got courted on in 97, I guess there was a beef going on with the 30s. That lasted till 2005 or 2000, early 2006.
Right.
And then I guess you had got incarcerated for most of that beef?
Yeah, I was in jail for all that shit, you know. And like I said, I never was a 30 killer. You know what I'm saying? I'm still not a 30 killer because I know all them motherfuckers.
And you lived right here.
And I lived right here, you feel me? But, you know, I'm going to ride with my homies. You know, we had a few meetings behind that shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, certain homies was, you know, both sides. You know, some niggas wasn't feeling the beef, and some motherfuckers was like, fuck them dudes. But that's because they was out here in the midst of it, you know, their house getting shot up, motherfuckers' mama's getting shot, you know, they chipped one of the homies. They did all type of shit, you know what I'm saying? They paralyzed my homie right here on King in Vermont, my homie Big Four Extras. He just had got put on the hood. Shot him right here at the bus stop. He just got put on the hood, and he got paralyzed. He's been paralyzed ever since. Feel me? So, you know, I remember being in the crib module, and you know, we over there lining it up. Basically, you know, everybody catching the fade and shit, you feel me?
Between the 30s?
I never squabbled none of them. You know, they never wanted to have a fight with me because they knew me. They knew me. They used to be like, Bone, from the one to be from, used to be from D.C. with the ponytail. About to have a long ponytail. So I never was a 30 killer. But then, like I said, when the King Parade used to come right here to Vermont, that's the last time it came. We had a big-ass rumble with the 30s and shit. That's why it don't come to Vermont no more. You know what I'm saying? We had a big-ass rumble. That shit was sick. We fought them dudes all the way back to Normandy, man.
It's good to know that the 30s and the 40s ironed out their differences and ended their 10-year beef. They did that with no outside influence, no government assistance, and no added resources. I salute that generation of guys on both sides that made that happen. In this segment, we talk about the rivalry between the Rollin' 40s and the Five Deuce Hoover Gangsta Crips, and generally the rivalry between all neighborhood Crips and all Hoover sets. But the dark side of the Rollin' 40s neighborhood Crips and the Five Deuce Hoover Gangsta Crips have a unique rivalry. And it's always interesting to learn how rivalries on the street get erased in prison, especially on a level 3 or level 4 in a California prison. And this is, of course, because of racial politics. So listen to S-Bone talk about being friends with a rival Five Deuce Hoover Gangsta Crip in prison.
Now, what's it like when you in the pen and you got somebody from Five Deuce Hoover right there on the yard with you?
Well, you know,
has that ever happened, actually?
Of course. And, you know, I got the Five Deuce crossed out on my back real big.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of problems behind that. You know, I got jumped. I had a couple of fights behind that. But I never used to fuck with them dudes. One time I was in Wasco and it was a young cat, he was from Five Deuce Hoover, right? And he had it all on him, all on his face, everywhere. You know, I got shit all on my face and everywhere. And I never forget, as crazy as it sounds, we was in the shower. We showering up and he looked, what's up, OG? I'm like, what's happening? He's like, oh man, you know, I know you from where you from, You know, I was like, it's all good. I ain't even tripping, right? But me and him became kind of cool. I actually paid one of his debts off to the Mexicans. He had owed the Mexicans some money. He didn't want to tell his homies because, you know, they probably would have beat him up or did whatever. And I paid his debt, you feel me? And I'm from 40s, you feel me? And I told him, I said, that's crazy. But at that point in time, I had been in prison a gang of times. So my mentality was different as opposed to when I first went in, I was tripping. You know, I was on everything. I fuck this, fuck that, whatever. Then I've been to prison 10 times, 10 additional different times. So once my mind frame started changing, because it's like, damn, you know, we up here with, we back to back with enemies. I remember we had when they separated the blacks from the Mexicans, it was just blacks and probably white boys or whatever in the dorm and shit. I was in the pen, and then I got out and went back. That shit was like a culture clash. Like, no Mexicans up in there? That's crazy. Like, I don't like it like that because, you know, blacks get to acting more tough, doing shit that I know you wouldn't do if Mexicans was up here. So that's why I didn't like it. But we up in that mug and Supermax, man, I never forget, man. It's me, a couple of my niggas from 60s, my nigga from A-Tray, we at the table, and something happened. Something happened with one of the homies from 60s to where them niggas was kind of like on him. So when he came to my dorm, we at the table, and they basically saying like, nigga, we finna kick it off, right? I had kind of like, because I was getting a visit that day, so I'm like, man, let's wait till after my visit. And one of the homies from City's like, nigga, woo, kind of like low-key roared up on me a little bit. And I'm like, well, nigga, why we right here talking then? Nigga, let's go get cracking. Why is we talking? Because now I'm mad now. Y'all finna fuck up my visit, and I'm trying to tell you to wait. You basically saying, you pressing me. Next thing you know, my boy from A-Tray, he the one kicked it off. Fired on the nigga, the white boy, fired on bam! Right there, Supermax, I'll never forget, it was going down, we in that squad. Boom, bop, bing, 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 bing. I see a black dude over there. White boy's low-key getting him. I swear to God, I run over there to help him because he black. In the midst of me running over there, white boy slide your boy. Slid me, bam, like I spent the round like 360. Got on him, fighting him, then another homie came, black dude, start fighting him, then I continue on to go where I was going to help this dude. That shit was funny, because we was in the hole and shit. Everybody was in the hole like, boom, man, you broke that big nigga down. Because he was a big-ass white boy. I mean, big. I didn't knock him down, but he was so big. You know, I'm elbowing this motherfucker, kneeing him, trying to get him down. He would not go down. You know, I'm a big old strong white boy. we all up in the hole and shit. And then the nurse come, pill call. Motherfuckers out there like trying to get pain pills. Everybody, we in there fucked up, blacks, whites. That shit crazy, man. I'm done with that shit, man.
It is a crazy life to live, huh?
Man, that, you know what? That shit is crazy, man. And you know, if you not really with that, man, you don't gotta be from no game. When I say not with that, meaning you're not gonna be a man and stand on your own too. You're not gonna protect yourself. You're not gonna fight. You're not gonna whatever. Then you gonna be tuna up in there. Period. I done seen it too many times. Niggas getting raped, beat up, all type of shit.
Now let me ask you, you just said that you paid that guy's debt off from Five Dudes Hoover. You know, some of your homies are gonna be watching this. Are they gonna be feeling a certain kind of way that you actually did that?
Hell no. Nigga, I'm grown as fuck. Anybody that know me know I don't give a damn. I do what I wanna do.
Yeah.
Period. I'm not the toughest nigga, but don't no nigga run me.
But them youngsters especially, they the ones that's kinda
the young niggas, you niggas is done. They only gonna do what they see us do. You feel me? So if we doing something stupid, they gonna do something stupider. You feel me? Even though going to popping on shit and doing shit is stupid or discipline niggas, but you know, that's why it's like a parent raising a child. You explain to your young homies why X, Y, and Z is going on. You feel me? You know, y'all kick back. We're gonna show you how to get down. You know, cause you don't depend on no nigga to take you on a mission, and you got to do your own shit, pave your own way.
Yeah.
You feel me? I can say a lot of enemies know me and they kind of fuck with me. They respect me. And I can go as far as say they got a little love for me because they know I was a nigga that never changed up. You feel me? Always stayed the same because one thing, tables always turn. Feel me? So I done been in jail with a number of enemies in there, and I walk up in there, I probably have to fight, or I walk up in there, niggas knew me like, he's straight. Don't fuck with him. You feel me? Fuck with him, it's gonna be a problem. Or whatever, you feel me? I done been in a situation where there's nothing but homies in there. And I'd be like, man, y'all chill that shit out, man. That's, you know, we gotta be, first of all, we trying to focus on our case, get up out of here, and we gotta watch the messages. So we can't be in here beating each other up, you know what I'm saying? Cause every time we fight, they removing blacks up out the door. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like damn near 100 Mexicans and only 30 blacks. We need all 30 blacks. But out that 30 blacks, 5 or 10 of them is smokers. 5 or 6 of them is scary. And the rest, it's niggas like us. We gonna be in there fighting for our life. I done saved niggas from BPS life, niggas from gear. I'm talking about in jail. I'm talking about Mexicans really wanted to have them niggas' asses. And just based on the love and the respect that they have for me, they like, you know what, Bone? It's cool, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I remember that shit too. That nigga had to get DP'd. His homies DP'd him and shit. The Bloods, because he was in there extra out and shit. And the Mexicans was like, you know, this around the time the shit with the Cosas and the Florencias, you know what I'm saying? Because the Mexicans, they put the green light on the Cosas, but they black. So when you in jail, we're not finna sit back and let you niggas fight. We got to fight with y'all. So guess what? We in there fighting some shit that don't got nothing to do with us, but based on we black, we got to ride with you. You niggas didn't give me no bird. You niggas had 400 something birds. You feel me? You niggas didn't give me no bird. You ain't getting another nigga bird. But it's all good though, but you know, it's the life we chose.
In this next segment, I continue to ask Estebone about the rivalry with the Five Deuce Hoover Gangster Crips. As I mentioned earlier, the Five Deuces are probably the primary rival to the 40s Crips, especially the Dark Side. Their communities are located right next to each other, separated by Vernon Avenue. This rivalry is actually part of a larger rivalry between all the Hoover sets and all the neighborhood Crip sets, mostly on the west side of South Los Angeles. So on the neighborhood Crip side, you have the 90s, the Rolling 60s, S-Bones area, the 40s, the 6-7 neighborhood Crips, the 4-8 neighborhood Crips, the Rolling Hundreds, which would include the Undergrounds, the Blocks, the 111s, 115s, and several other neighborhood Crip sets, against all the Hoover sets, the 11 Deuces, the 107s, the 94s, 9 Deuces, A Trays, 7-4s, 5-9s, and the 5 Deuce Hoovers. So on a macro level, this rivalry on paper is huge. But right now we're in a period where sets aren't really looking to engage in a rivalry all the time, but things are unpredictable. I've been trying to facilitate truces between different communities, and I think we're in an era right now where we have to take advantage of any opportunity to bring communities together. And I'm always trying to open that door to create dialogue between opposing sides. Right now, we have gang members from these communities that have reached their 40s and 50s and have individually transitioned their outlook on life. They no longer see the other black man as the enemy. And now the work is trying to get the collective, which includes younger people in their 20s and 30s, to see that same vision. And that's what the challenge is. In this next segment, I ask S-Bone about the rival community, Five Deuce Hoover Gangsta Crips, and what's the likelihood of establishing a truce between these two sides. And he also touches on the conflict with the former ally, Rolling 60s.
I got Five Deuce crossed out in the middle of my back, big. Feel me? I got bullet wounds. Whatever I'm doing, I've been through it. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing that I'm making up or, you know, I heard, you know, I actually put the footwork into it.
Has anyone ever tried to get the Five Deuce Hoovers in the 40s at the table? Especially the dark side?
That ain't happening. That's out.
No, it ain't.
That's not happening. Never.
So I guess no one's ever tried that.
That's not happening.
Why not?
It ain't happening.
They said that the Florences and the East Coasters would never come to the table.
We're not them. And with the Florence and East Coasters, I respect that. You know what I'm saying? Because we all,
and we're talking about
minorities.
We're talking about bodies and that war. Just, you know.
Hey, they ain't lost more bodies than the 40s and the Hoovers. That's for sure. That beef just started in the 2000s.
It's a 20-year beef.
It just started. Yeah. Our beef with the Hoovers is damn near ever since we've been thought of.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, you know, the numbers is not going to be, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I like that. You know what I'm saying? I say this. I'm with the ceasefire. People stay in their area, do what you do and all that old shit or whatever. Regulate your homies. You know what I'm saying? Because me and just like a lot of my other niggas, you know, we trying to tell these niggas, you got to go to school. You know what I'm saying? Get your money. Fuck with these females. Stay healthy. Keep a gun on you because the next nigga might not be where your mind at. So you can't just be out here just, you got to respect the streets at all times. Whether you in the hood every day, or you coming to the hood just for the hood day or for funerals, you gotta respect these streets. Because before you got to wherever you at mentally, there's still young niggas out here that's still trying to get there, or they might not get there. They might just be assholes for the rest of their life. You feel me? So it's like, I'm with the ceasefire and all that other shit. Cause I'm with, like I said, I'm with my blackness. I always been like that from day one. You feel me? I'm a 70s baby. Feel me? So I come from up under Muslims, you know what I'm saying? Black power, black empowerment, you know what I'm saying? I come from that era, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I could see a ceasefire down the line between the 40s and the Five Deuce Hoovers.
That ain't going down.
I could actually picture that.
That's not going on. That's a nightmare. That's not happening. I'm keeping it clean. We got better action than sitting down with the 60s before we sit down with them. We like twin brothers.
Yeah.
40s and 60s is the same thing, you feel me? They've been around longer than us, but they like the same thing, you feel me? But it's like, how can I put it? My hood, we the only offset. We gonna beef with whoever. Whoever got problem with 40s, it's whatever. You know, we had altercation with the 30s. We had some bullshit back in the day with the 90s. Of course, the shit with the 60s, you feel me? And you know, it's whoever want problems with the hood. It's whatever. That's how it is, man. But you know, like I said, every hood is different, man. But you know, I got a gang of niggas from 60s who I love, man. You feel me? Who, nigga, I done been in the trenches with. You know what I'm saying? We done been back to back in the county. You feel me? Fighting. You know what I'm saying? Feeding each other. You know what I'm saying? But you know, a lot of shit just changed since they killed the homie. Like, you know, the love is still there, but the trust ain't there, I'll say that.
But I'm sure there's a lot of dudes on that side that you knew that wasn't with that, they, you know?
It's a gang of them that's not with that. They sick behind that. But that's what happens when you train wild dogs to attack. Because we all homies out here, and I'm out here fighting three niggas that's my ally. I should be able to, first of all, I shouldn't be out there fighting three niggas by myself. Second of all, I shouldn't have to get shot while I'm fighting these dudes. We homies. You wanna go kill somebody, go kill some of y'all enemies. But that's how them dudes are, that's how they raised, that's how they train. You know, it's all good. I ain't tripping. You know what I'm saying? But niggas that you just got to know who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because me, myself, you know, I know the type of niggas that I be dealing with. So if I know I'm not finna go out here and be able to fade these niggas, guess what? I'm either play the back row or I'm gonna just start sparking some shit. Period. Because you're not finna get no points off of me.
I kind
of
tripped when Twin got killed because he was working for Grid.
Man, come on, man.
You know?
He's
40-something years old.
But that's what I'm saying. That's behind stupidity. You know what I'm saying? Young niggas playing with killers. You feel me? I'm gonna say it again. Young niggas playing with killers. You feel me? You can't be playing with killers. You know what I'm saying? And then you don't kill this nigga right there, and this nigga come back and kill the homie. That's what a disconnect is. You playing, but this nigga not. So he ain't in the wrong. He in the right. Because you playing, and he gonna do what he do. You feel me? And then we lose a good homie that was with trying to bring everything together, trying to get everybody to be on the same page. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, come on now, how we gonna recover from that?
Yeah, but there's a lot of dudes from 60s that was completely against that.
Of course, but you against it, but what are you doing to rectify the situation? Feel me? We're not telling you to kill your homie that did it or bring that nigga to the table. You know what I'm saying? It's about the action. It's about the action, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what? I give you my word, nigga. I'm finna go over here to homies. We ain't finna do nothing. We ain't doing nothing. And you do the same thing. And y'all keep that pulse on there. Feel me?
Well, a lot of people, this guy got his windows tinted.
At this point of the interview, a car pulled up with dark tinted windows. And we were just trying to figure out what was going on. You always have to be careful out here and be on alert. Remember, I'm out here with a small camera crew. And we stand out on the sidewalk while doing the interview.
That's one of my throwbacks right there.
Okay.
Hey, that's one of my throwbacks right there.
It turns out that two of S-Bone's homeboys from the turf pulled up and noticed us doing the interview.
Hey. Ah, what's up, man? Hey, me and this dude, we done been...
Handshakes is fake, but we tugging this man. I'm Tyreek, man.
Hey, me and this dude have been as... Man, hey. Hey, I'm an L double, M double about that mission we went on.
Hey, no.
Nigga, you didn't throw the rocks. I did.
I know you did, nigga. I said pass it to me, but you wouldn't.
That's my big homie right there. That's
right, man,
hey, I'm the one that threw the rocks.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm the one that threw the rocks. This nigga the one that got hit up.
Yeah.
That's crazy, y'all, right here.
1980, right here. Gucci Crip, my nigga.
You already know it.
Yeah.
Nate Bull, that's my big homie right there.
Oh, okay.
One of my niggas got the sand pop. All right, nigga. Yeah, so you know, my boy right there, we done been through some shit. You know what I'm saying? I remember one time we went on a mission and we went to go hit this little bank and shit, right? So we go out there, that shit glassed up. This before they start glassing banks up and shit. So we took too long to go back. They had that shit glassed up. So we mad. We come back to the hood. We like, fuck. We finna go on a mission. We finna go do some bullshit because we mad because we couldn't go get our money. So we riding around up to no good. Sure enough, them niggas see us at the light. Pull up. A bitch pop up from the back seat. Start cracking. Boom, boom. My homie that was in that truck shot him. Right? I'm driving. We in a G-Ride. I'm driving. Right on 47 in Normandy. I get on them, chase them down. You feel me? They get by Vermont at 43rd. They just flew across Vermont, didn't even stop, man. And any other day it'd be traffic. And I was like, damn. So once they slid across Vermont, I was finna keep going behind them. But as soon as I got to Vermont, my boy is right, he was like, no, bro, you ain't gonna make it. And I was like, ah! I'm in the middle of Vermont. You see their ass going way down by Hoover making the ride. I'm like, the niggas got away, but they shot my homie right there.
So they was Hoovers.
They was Hoovers.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy, man. That's crazy they pulled up both together because I was on a mission with both of them niggas. You feel me?
And we were just talking about the Hoovers.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not going down. You know what I'm saying? We can't stand them, and they definitely can't stand us.
Well, I think deep down, everybody want to kind of end conflict in their communities.
Everybody want to live.
Yeah.
Everybody want to raise their kids. Everybody want to have that girl and chill and all that, you know what I'm saying? But the truth of the matter is, it's not a lot of opportunities out here. You feel me? motherfuckers out here, we all come from broken families, broken backgrounds. But it's about how broken it is, and it's about how strong your mind is. You feel me? Because you can come from a broken family and be successful, or you can come from a good family and be out here smoking dope. So ultimately, it's gonna be up to the individual. But we all growing up in gang-infested neighborhoods in LA. From Pico all the way to Imperial. From Crenshaw all the way to Maine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But nowadays, it's a lot of niggas that's wired up, working with the police, different little shits. So it'd be kind of hard to keep the structure in there, because if you got the structure going up in there, and you know, somebody don't get along, don't really want to follow that shit, or they can't be they self, they gonna drop the dime on you. You're gonna be a buddy.
Hey,
we fighting all kind of wars. We fighting each other, we fighting our own homie, and we fighting niggas that's trying to drop the dime on us.
In September of 2019, the East Coast Crips, a predominantly black gang, and the Florence 13s, a predominantly Mexican gang, ended their 20-year feud after coming to the table and discussing their differences. During the past two decades, this rivalry was probably the most violent during this period. The East Coast Crips and the Florences were trusted allies for many years, but a few East Coast Crips from out of the six-pack stole several kilos of cocaine that belonged to the Florences, and that's what started their rivalry. Some say 200, others say 300 kilos, but that's still a few million dollars worth of drugs, and since that theft, the rivalry was on. There are no winners or losers in rivalries. They just continue, and when it's over, there is no champion. And when these two sides made peace in 2019, they really set the bar high for others to follow. In this next segment, I ask S-Bone, what is his view on this truce?
So what did you think when you first heard that the Coasters and the Florences ceased fire after 20 years?
You know what? I didn't believe. I had to look it up. I had to look it up, and you know, I heard a few motherfuckers talking about this shit, but I think that's a good look only if the intentions is good. What I mean by that is the motherfuckers that's behind the mic, that's doing the politicking, you know, they got the Johnnies right here, you feel me? So, you know, I guess that's how I got to go. I don't know, that's some new shit, but if your intentions is right, like Johnnies and them, they gonna be cashing y'all out checks and money and all that old shit. That shit need to be coming to the hood. The Mexicans, they're a little bit more organized than the blacks. You know what I'm saying? Blacks, we gotta be backed into a corner, you know what I'm saying, with a gun on us, no shoes on, for us to be like, all right, man, come on. You feel me? We just hard-headed like that. But I like the ceasefire and shit, you know what I'm saying? Even though they did it after the homie got killed from East Coast, I feel like...
X-Ray?
Yeah, that was my nigga, man. You feel me? Rest in peace. I feel like when that happened, oh, they knew it was finna be. It was finna be hell to pay.
That killing almost derailed the whole thing.
With the homie X-Ray.
Yeah.
Right.
But the cooler heads prevailed, man.
So is it still going up?
Everything's good now.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. But you know, how long that's gonna last?
Hey, as long as they keep on having a dialogue, which they do.
That's the main thing, dialogue and motherfuckers just, it's about respect, man.
And whenever there is little flare-ups, they don't get to saying the war's back on. They meet up.
Right.
They get on the phone.
Right.
They got a place where they can come to a room and have a meeting and say, right, this is what happened.
Right.
And they handle it.
Right. And that's how it should be, like old school back in the day. You feel me? Before it get ugly, you know what I'm saying? You holler at somebody, they could probably get a hold of it. You know what I'm saying? Because you be having different type of shit. Niggas get jacked for change and all type of shit. And I might get called somebody like, hey, man, my boy, man. You know what I'm saying? He go get the chain back. And that, you know, that leave it at that and shit. But you know, everybody different, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'd like to see more ceasefires. I don't know if you heard about the one in Inglewood between the Inglewood 13s, Queen Street Bloods, and the NHPs.
I seen that too.
Yeah.
I seen that too. And you know, a lot of that shit is long overdue.
Yeah.
You feel me? Because really, the blacks in the SAs, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel. I'm advocating stop the killing. You know what I'm saying? Make sure your health right. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you take care of your kids. You know what I'm saying? Make sure everybody's being held accountable for whatever they're doing. You know what I'm saying? That don't mean kill a nigga. You know what I'm saying? You politic with a nigga. You school him. You teach him. You give him that hard discipline. You feel me? Because otherwise, you just keep going. You keep going. Because one thing for sure, We all got somebody that love us and that's willing to go, you know what I'm saying, get behind the drill because they harmed our love.
In this next segment, S-Bone provides a detailed account of getting shot. Ironically, the second time he got shot, it wasn't even gang related. It wasn't even a rival. But the shooter was actually a personal friend of his that tried to kill him.
You said you got shot twice. Can you talk about the injuries that you sustained during your shootings and how you had to recover and heal from those?
Okay, well, yeah, the first time I got shot, I was in the drive-thru right here in the hood at McDonald's, right here on King of Vermont in the hood, and I got shot in the hip. My homie Doggy Dog from WDC, rest in peace, he used to clean my wounds every day. You know, that was one of my best friends. He got killed right there in front of the swim stadium. Feel me? Died right in front of me, told me who shot him and all that, which was the Hoovers, you feel me? And told me the person and all that, but he got killed right there in front of us and shit, you know what I'm saying? I never forget that day. And second time I got shot by a nigga I grew up with.
Real quick, did you go to the hospital for the first shooting?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They took me to California and shit. All my homies and shit came, was standing in front of my house. And moms came outside like, where DeJuan at? That's my name. And she said they was like looking all spooked up shit. You know, they didn't want to tell my mom I got shot. Then they ended up telling her like, he got shot. She like, what? She went on one and all that. And you know, I got out the hospital probably like 2 or 3 days. My dumb ass limping. I'm in the hood, walk through. All this wasn't right there. That was just an open little field.
Yeah.
Cut through there and banged down Hoover because I'm limping and shit and want to get caught sleeping because it's wartime at that time. I got shot a day after my birthday in 2013. Feel me? I think I got shot because I went looking for it. Because the nigga that shot me, I had been looking for it. You feel me? And that particular day, my uncle had died and I was supposed to be going to the hospital. My ass came through the hood first. Then I'm like, you know what? Let me go over here. Cause I heard he was over here hanging with this Mexican dude. Let me go ask the Mexican dude, hey, where's such and such, such and such? So when I pull up and I get out the car, I'm like, damn, you the nigga I'm looking for. So I go into like, you know, long story short, I go into ask him like, what's up? Like, what's on your mind? What you got to say? You know, and I felt like he was being evasive. Like, he wasn't giving me what I wanted. He wasn't saying nothing. He just had this little bullshit smirk on his face.
Did he owe you money or something?
No, he didn't owe me money. He was out here speaking foul about me, you know what I'm saying? Speaking on my name and saying shit that, nigga, you'll die for, period. So when I seen him, he wasn't saying nothing. So I'm like, you know what? I need that. So I got in the street. When I turned around like that, he had the gun out. And I threw my hands up like, damn. I start backing up. I'm like, damn, you gonna shoot me? Like, nigga, I know your mama. Nigga, we done fucked bitches together, robbed. I fought 20 niggas with that nigga on King and Fig. They used to be having some shit called Black Circus right here. And he had an issue with some niggas. It was about 20 of them niggas. Who went and fought all 20 of them niggas with him? Me. Same nigga he turned around and shot. So that's why a nigga can't show me nothing that I ain't seen. Like, nigga, that shit don't mean nothing. It used to be fighting with niggas, you going through shit, that built the bond. But nigga, that shit don't mean nothing. But everybody that, y'all know the same people. They like, man, you know that nigga wasn't gonna fight. You feel me? And I was like, I know, man. You know what I'm saying? I know the nigga was gonna fight. The niggas are shooting. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man.
So you put your hands up, you try to talk yourself
out? Yeah, so I just backed up, was basically trying to get them to click back into like, damn, I'm tripping. So I wasn't go on the real. So I wasn't gonna run until I see him cock it or aim. So as soon as I seen his arm lift up, I turn around, I bump. Don't ask me why, but all black people, we think about Ricky and Boys in the Hood. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like zigzagging. And on my mom, it felt like I was airborne, like I wasn't going nowhere. So in my mind, I'm like, damn, this nigga trying to mark me out. You know how you pull a gun out, like, nigga, get on, nigga, run, nigga, get on. So I thought he was trying to do that to me. As soon as that thought passed my brain, I hear the first two shots. Boom, boom. First one missed me. Second one hit me in my back. Made me do a front flip. Flip. Got up. I never stopped moving the whole time. You know, I flipped, rolled, got up. And I'm like, damn. I'm like, damn, he hit me. So I'm trying to get on about it. I'm running all on the sidewalk. Nigga bust. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Shot me. I'm on the ground. nigga, that's when he hit me in the hip right here. Hit me in the hip. Boom, I hop up. I'm like, damn, nigga, you really trying to kill me. He's like, you say you got an issue. So at that time, I stopped running between cars doing all that. I'm like, fuck it. I just got in the middle of the street, and I just took a deep breath because I remember I had got hit in the back. I took a deep breath to see if I could breathe. So when I went like that, and I seen that I could get a good breath, I just start running straight. Right there, I got shot on 41st. He chased me all the way from Fig all the way to Hoover, you feel me? So once I did that, I just broke. I'm running in the street, and then I just kept hearing my homies, you know how they say your life flashed before your eyes? I just kept hearing my homies saying, nigga, this ain't the county jail. You running around calling niggas out for fades. Niggas not fighting, niggas just shoot, right? That's all I keep hearing in my brain. So he get out two more times. Boom, boom. Hit me both times. You know what I'm saying? Hit me right here, then hit me in the funny bone. The funny bone. It went in, came out right here. As soon as that happened, my arm went up. It was stuck like that. Literally, because you know how the funny bone feels. So then the police come. They're after my birthday, I told you. So I'm fresh. I got me like a half ounce of weed. They walk up on me and shit like, you on parole, probation? I'm like, nah, I ain't on parole or nothing. Guess what them motherfuckers do? Just turn around and leave. So I'm right here shot, damn near bleeding, finna die. But because I ain't on parole, you're not interested in trying to give me no assistance or help. But if I'm on parole, then you wanna know my name, you wanna try to take me to jail and all that, and I'm shot up. So when they find that out, they just went, stood on the curb and was talking to themselves until the ambulance came. Grabbed me, put me all on the thing and shit. I'm like, hey man, be careful with my body, man. You know what I'm saying? And I hope people that work for the MLM see this shit too, because people get shot and all that. Be delicate with their body, man. Don't be disrespectful and none of that shit, because one day you're gonna be on that motherfucking stretcher. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna want somebody to be delicate with your body. You know what I'm saying? Don't take that job if you don't care about human life, period.
How was it after you got to the hospital?
Oh man, all the homies was up there and shit, and my homie Tiny Crib, rest in peace. He the first person face I seen. I'm on the stretcher, they taking me out. You know, he leaned over in my ear and whispered like, cause they was thinking somebody else had shot him. And I was like, nah, woo-doo-woo-doo-woo. And he was like, all right, because, now just think if I would've died. That would've started war with a whole nother gang that didn't have nothing to do with this. So, that's what happened right there. You know, a couple of my homies, my cousin, you know what I'm saying, my homegirls. And I woke up later on that night, man, probably like 12 at night, 1. And I had kind of like, the fuck, like what happened? So when I wake up, I'm like, damn, where my mom at? I'm like, what happened? You know what the doctor told me? He said, every knucklehead got a mama praying for him. And I was like, what? He said, every knucklehead got a mama praying for him. Meaning I was a knucklehead, you know. Parents always pray for their children when they out here in the streets, don't let nothing happen to them and all that. So
yeah.
He's basically saying, you know, and I was bigger, that's what basically saved me, along with God. You know, mom's prayer, me being healthy, and I guess not being my time to go.
In this next segment, I ask S-Bone about another crew turned gang called the Trouble Gangster Crips. They were a crew that became a Crip set closely aligned with his rivals, the Five Deuce Hoover Gangster Crips.
Now, during the same time, before the Troubles became Trouble Gangsta Crips, they were nothing but trouble in Leimert Park, but right. Then they moved over to 51st and Halldale.
Right.
Did you have any interaction with those cats?
Well, you know what? As crazy as it sounds, I never really fucked with them. Like I said, I was from WDC, so naturally those is enemies to me. You feel me? So other than the skating ring, I never really had no dealings with them dudes. You know, even though they used to be in Leimert Park, but that's back in the day when the 60s used to come down there and fuck with them and try to make them turn 60s, press them and all that old shit or whatever. But it's a few dudes from the hood that was from Trouble back when I was from WDC. You know, they from the Avs and all that, the Parkside and shit. And you know, we always clown about it or talk shit.
Cause technically the Trouble started in the 40s hood.
Right.
Your generation of street gangs in LA, I would say 80% of your generation was in a crew first.
Yeah, off top.
Whereas before your generation, dudes was just straight into the
gang.
They
was thugging.
Yeah.
But see, this the thing. If that generation didn't do that, who's to say where them gangs would be? Because they wouldn't have the foot soldiers and the bodies. You feel me?
But not every single WDC, DOM decided to go the gangbanging route.
Nah. You know, some dudes, you know, like I say, they was just in it for the fad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They wasn't really, you know, they wasn't really to get their hands, you know, I'm talking about rumbles, man. 20-on-20 shootouts.
When it got a little too real, I guess some of them dudes bowed out.
They wherever they at.
Which is okay, you know.
I mean, I ain't mad at that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody shit is different. Everybody road to wherever they going is different. My thing has always been telling my homies, like, hey man, sew the hood up. Make sure you heat it. You feel me? It ain't about tearing your homie down, it's about boosting him up, encouraging him, helping him. You know what I'm saying? Being there for him. You know what I'm saying? I come from that area where everybody, you feel me? If we had one blunt, all 20 niggas out here finna hit that blunt. You feel me? But now it's different. You know, everybody's for self, you know, and I ain't mad. But don't try to play both sides like you really giving a fuck about, you know, this gang banging, this Crippin' and blood.
So how many WDCs got put on around that time? Did you get put on by yourself?
I got put on by myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who you weren't the first WDC to get put on?
I was, technically, I was probably, not counting the homie May 2, like in the 92 run, like I told you, not counting them, technically I was like the second homie. I was the second homie. And everybody else, you know, they got put on, only a couple of homies got put on the hood. You feel me? Probably like one or two after that. And that was way like down the line, like 2000, when niggas start beefing and different little shit.
Now you mentioned Shannon from EWF. We just interviewed him.
Oh, is that right?
And he gave us the history of EW. How'd you meet Shannon back in the day?
Well, he was older than me.
Yeah.
You know, so I just being a young motherfucker, just being around, he probably don't even remember me because I was a kid. I was sixth grade. I was going to Altaloma over there in Schoolyard Hood. That's where I used to live at. You know, I lived in Schoolyard Hood and I lived in PPG Hood, Playboy Gangster Hood. I lived on Corny.
Oh, you lived on C Street.
I lived in the Booger Wolf Mansion. That's where I lived at. 2023 Corny. You feel me? I know all them dudes. You know, I used to have fights with the older cats because they used to be trying to turn me out, make me turn PPG. And, you know, I wasn't finna be from PPG. I wasn't even from nowhere, really. I just was hanging with, like, the E-Dubs and LFCs. That's like ladies' first choice. That's like some, you know, some player type shit.
They're over there by the PPGs, aren't they?
Right, on Corny.
Yeah.
All that shit. AHP, which is After Hour Posse. All that shit. My nigga Joaquin, Too Sweet, he got killed back then. My nigga Enter, he got killed. All of them is my guys. You know, they rest in peace, man. That's way long time ago. Feel me?
So you was going to Altaloma School in Schoolyard Hood when you was messing with the E-Dubs?
Yeah, I lived on West Boulevard. Yeah, I grew up over there from third grade to sixth grade. So all the schoolyards is around my age. I know all of them. I grew up in the skating ring. You know, I know the skate, all that old bull crap. I went to Mount Vernon for 1 year. Then moms moved us over there to West LA to PPG Hood. And I got bused to Patrick Henry in the Valley and Mark Twain. I had to fight the Venice Show Lines because they thought I was from Playboys. So I'm fighting these dudes because they thinking I'm from over here, and I'm fighting these dudes telling you, nigga, I'm not finna be from over here. So I was, you know, I was having some issues, man.
Yeah.
We might be from WDC right here, but you might be tied to Avalon. I'm tied to the neighborhood, and the homie right here, he might be tied to the Overs, but we all WDCs. But eventually, you know, you gotta shit to get off the pot. You can't play both, you know, both sides.
So WDC had two sides, dark side, and then the side that turned over?
It had the dark side, it had the west side, and it had the east side. The east side's all them turned Broadway and Avalon. And the ones that was on the west side, they majority turned Hoover. And the ones that didn't turn Hoover, they came over here. But then, you know, years down the line, you know, the homies we had kind of like a little issue, and they ended up relocating over there to the 50s over there on 57 with the 5-5s and all that. So now, you know, they 5-7 DC, et cetera, whatever, whatever. And as far as the homies from DOM, you know, they kind of scattered out, you know, doing whatever they doing, living their life. You know, you got a few homies in the pen. The truth of the matter is, we was out here sickening whatever the other gangs was doing, we was doing it. Just on a younger level. I never really got courted on DC. I got courted on 40s, you feel me? But the love is still the same. You know what I'm saying? Anything over here, I'm from whatever's over here.
So at that time, there was no Dark Side 40s. It was just
Nate? Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was Dark Side 40s.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Dark Side 40s been around since a minute, before I even came around.
So Dark Side 40s and WDC existed in the same area at the same time?
The same area, but as far as, yeah, the WDC's kind of existed. They kind of existed, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't real full throttle until when that shit happened with the Hoovers, then majority of everybody started coming over here hanging. You know what I'm saying? That's how, you know, but you had homies over here, you know what I'm saying? We had homies that's from the hood, that was from WDC back in the day, like my homie May 2, rest in peace. He from WDC, but he originally from 40s too. He got killed the same day of the riots. The 92 riots, he got killed the same day as that. So that's 92. So WDC been around, you know what I'm saying? But as far as on the respect tip or, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, you gotta ask different individuals how they felt about that. But, you know, me and my niggas, whoever, you know, we was on. Carrying guns, all that, you know what I'm saying? Older homies, that's why they respected us, because we was doing our shit. We didn't follow behind nobody.
So Dark Side was already out for 40s when WDC was doing that thing in 92, 93?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. What made you want to consider being from 9-0, even though you don't really have any neighborhood ties, community ties, way down there? You kind of tied in over here more,
right,
so.
Right. Following behind my big cousin, you know? My big cousin's a little cuckoo from 90s. You know what I'm saying? He a reputable from over there, and Big Too Sweet and Tiny Cuckoo. You know, they reputables from over there. So I'm kind of following behind my big cousin. You know what I'm saying? He like a neighborhood legend. Everybody know him.
So you said you had two siblings when you was living here. Did they ever get involved in the streets like you did?
My little brother, he don't gang bang. He know. But one time we had an incident right here. This was like right after I got shot. And it was like a couple of homies right here, and it was like, they was like, hey man, the Troubles, they right here at King of Vermont at the bus stop. We like, what? You know, I'm going in the house to get my gun. Niggas going in bushes. My little brother was outside. Then a couple of my niggas, they was already walking across the street. You know, you can go through the little cut right there. And then before they even got like halfway in the street, here come them niggas coming out. So all you got is a big ass shootout. Boom, boom, boom. So I had to grab my brother and hide over there by the bush. Feel me? While them niggas was having the shootout and shit. So after that, that's when mama like, man, I got to move from over here. And she moved to East LA and shit over there to Mexico. She's like, I got to get up out of here. My main thing to everybody in LA, man, you know, stop with that fake shit. You know what I'm saying? When Nipsey got killed, everybody was crying. I was crying. We were sick. We were sad. Niggas was like, damn. Then Kobe died. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when we see these stars and these celebrities that we got attachments to and we got love for, when they die, for a day or two, we be feeling like, damn, man, on some black shit. No, that shit got to be every day. You know what I'm saying? It got to be every day, man. You can't just be, when somebody died, just wanna be, no. That shit got to be every day. We know it's gonna be some knuckleheads out here, niggas that ain't gonna listen and all that, but that's why you got G homies. Cause don't no young nigga run shit. Nigga, you get in line or you get your shit whooped. Period. You know what I'm saying? You old niggas, stop being miserable. Stop being jealous. You know what I'm saying? How can you be jealous of your hood, of your homies? You know what I'm saying? We're a reflection of y'all. You know what I'm saying? We keeping the hood going just like y'all paved the way for us to be able to claim whatever we claim. And my main thing is for black people in LA, whoever see this interview, a lot of y'all gonna know me, a lot of y'all not gonna know me. But those who do know me, know that my shit is genuine and know that I'm not just making this shit up for this little bullshit ass shit. My main thing is for everybody to be healthy, take care of their family, take care of themselves. You know what I'm saying? Wherever hood you from, sew your hood up, make sure niggas can't come over there striking up shit. You know what I'm saying? And start respecting life, man. Start respecting the other person. You know what I'm saying? I ain't telling you to just be nice, but I know when I was coming up, we used to speak to our elders. How you doing? Good afternoon. Good morning. You know what I'm saying? It don't mean you soft, homie, because you got feelings. It don't mean you soft because you speak, or you don't always got to do something. You know what I'm saying? You can always stop problems before they start, man. And you know, all my niggas in the pen, you already know who y'all is. My niggas from DC, DOM, the homies from 40s, the show. You know what I'm saying? Niggas that I know from wherever y'all from, niggas, Shotgun. nigga, Hoovers, nigga, Playboys, nigga, 18th Street, nigga, Lennox, nigga. I know all you niggas. All y'all know me. Niggas from Compton, Linwood neighborhood, niggas from Great. I know niggas. You know what I'm saying? Niggas know me. And I'm pretty sure you niggas know niggas. So if we all know somebody, what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? We don't need to be doing no, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, check them young niggas. Young niggas, you niggas don't run nothing, period. You niggas get in line or get out of line. You old niggas, you niggas got to start leading by example. If you not leading by example, niggas is not going to respect you.
All right.
Neighbors to the neighbors.
Now, I want to know, like, what happened to the dude that shot you, that everybody knew who he was?
You know what? A lot of people knew, but a lot of people don't. Because I really didn't put him out there like that. But one time I was in the hood, crash pulled up. They told me you shot me. I'm like, well, why that nigga ain't in jail then? They like, we need you. I'm like, ain't that a bitch? You know what I'm saying? So that's when I first found out that it be motherfuckers really working with the police. Because this nigga knew who shot me. And I know for damn sure I ain't tell him. So he out though. He ain't out here in L.A. But he out.
Well, in order for him to go to prison for that shooting, you'd have to actually point him out.
Right, right.
And exactly. He wasn't going to do that.
Hell no.
Yeah. So that means... So he.
And I'm pretty sure he going to see this and he know. I'm in the L.A. I'm rocking. I'm doing my shit. And you know, if I don't get him, somebody else will. Because he's slimy. And I ain't the only nigga he fucked over. So I ain't the only nigga he got to watch out for. That's why you can't be out in the street doing slimy ass shit.
So in the last 7 years since you've been shot, you haven't crossed paths with him?
Nah, hell no, I wish.
So didn't
he was actually in jail though, but he got out. He went to jail for some other shit, but he out. You know how? Cause I'm keeping tabs on that nigga. You feel me? My niggas in jail, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right. Keeping tabs on that nigga, and I don't give a damn, nigga. Cause you did some bullshit.
Yeah.
Nigga, I raised you, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Does it make you a little bit more cautious now when you got an issue with somebody and you want that? Maybe you think about, okay, the last time I did that, I got shot, you know?
Nah, I ain't gonna say it make me cautious, because I already knew then and there, you know, how I was supposed to be carrying it, but I wasn't thinking that. So only thing, it just make me be like, you know what, don't approach no situation, especially a situation that make it, you know, turn into a fade, don't approach it naked. You know what I'm saying? I keep my gun on me everywhere I go. I got it right now. I don't play. Anybody that know me know I don't play.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, nigga. You disrespect me, I'm a nigga that'll fight you. But a lot of niggas out here ain't gonna fight you. So since they ain't gonna fight, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, because a simple fade would have just ended the whole situation with
it
you and that dude.
Over with.
Yeah, and then y'all might have been friends the next day.
We wouldn't have been friends, but it would have been cool. You know what I'm saying? But niggas beat a nigga up, he might try to kill you. So I'm glad he shot me then. Cause if I would've beat him up, he probably would've caught me slipping. I'm thinking shit cool, like how you said, and that nigga blow a nigga head off. So yeah, nigga shoot me, get it out the way. Don't play like we cool.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Street TV Podcast, episode Glove Love. And be sure to follow us on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you may be listening to us on. And don't forget, you can watch video segments of this interview at Street TV on YouTube. So just visit youtube.com and search Street TV. And also visit us at streettv.net for all the show notes and relevant links. And please leave us a rating and review. We definitely appreciate all your feedback on this episode and ideas and thoughts you might have on future episodes. And you could also visit us on Instagram at street.television. And thanks for listening to Street TV Podcast.